That we can come into this church today on Resurrection Sunday, remembering our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. We just thank you for the salvation that we have in him. And we thank you for each one who has come today and ask you that you would suit a blessing to every heart, that we might truly rejoice in your goodness. We pray for the spiritual need of each and every one of us, that we might look to you and find the answers to our questions and our problems, and that you'll help us through all of these things. We just pray for those that cannot be with us today. We ask you for any that are ill, that you might touch and strengthen them and help them today, and that your holy will might be accomplished. Lord, we do rejoice in all that we have in Christ Jesus, and pray that you will lead and help us throughout this service, that we might truly worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And it's always good to see them. Okay, let's see the announcements. We will not have an evening service today since it's Easter. And then Tuesday night, we'll have Bible study and prayer. We're still finishing up the Psalms. I think we've been in the Psalms now for quite a while. It's 150 of them, you know. So anyway, we're getting there. Next Sunday, regular services. And then Friday the 16th, we're having movie night, 7 o'clock. So come on out for that if you can. We'll have a good time there. Time of fellowship. And let's see what else. Oh, down on the 23rd, Friday the 23rd, 7 p.m., Genesis Women's Center, they call it now, is having the Sanctity of Life concert at the Berean Bible Church in Pottstown. The address is here in the bulletin. So if you can, if you would like to go to that, it's always a blessing. And to help them out as well, they accept a free will offering. Then on the 25th, the last Sunday, we'll be having a missionary offering for that. The offering plate is on the back if you'd like to contribute to the work of the church today. And let's see. I believe that's all the announcements. Okay, let's read the scripture this morning in Mark chapter 16. We've been through the Gospel of Mark, and we're finishing up today. So, Mark chapter 16, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Go your way, tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. I wanted to mention a couple of prayer requests as we look to the Lord this morning. The Bilheim family, pray for them. Caitlin has COVID, and now Kelly has also tested positive for that. So it's spreading through the family. Hopefully it will soon pass away. We'll see what happens. But they're not sick at the moment, but just pray that they will get through this. And then I would appreciate you praying for my granddaughter. We had thought that they were going to be with us today for Easter, but she's not well. We don't know exactly what it is. She's had anemia before, and now she's just real listless. So anyway, her name is Avery. If you could remember her in your prayers, I'd appreciate it very much. Okay, let's look to the Lord. Father, we thank you so much that we can come into your holy presence knowing that you love us and that you're with us to help us today. We just thank you, Lord, for this beautiful music that we've heard already and for that to which will come. We thank you that we can worship you in this way and pray that you will accept our worship and our praise. Lord, we do pray that you will have mercy on those who are ill. We pray for Caitlin and for Kelly that they will come through this quickly and easily. And we pray for Avery. We pray that you'll help her to get back to her normal self. We just pray that you'll undertake for them. And so many others, Lord, we know there's many that are ill. And we just ask you to undertake for each one. We pray for those who are still shut in. We pray that you will watch over them and help them and encourage them today as they worship you together there at home. And we pray for our country today. Our Father, we just pray that you'll have mercy upon us. We think of all of the sin and ungodliness that goes on in this land, and we wonder how you can be so patient. But we pray that you will have mercy on us, Lord, and pray that many more people would come to know our Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and have eternal life. Lord, we pray for this service today and for the service that's taking place in throughout the land and throughout the world today. We just pray that many, many precious souls would come to Christ and put their faith and trust in him. Thank you, Lord, for all that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord, and pray that you will lead us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Here. Happy Resurrection Day. I think I said that before, but anyway, we certainly are rejoicing in Easter and the time when Christ came forth from the grave. You know, although Christmas is celebrated a great deal more, we give out a lot of gifts and things like that, Easter Sunday should be the most significant day for a Christian. You know, it's wonderful that Jesus was born, and that was necessary, wasn't it? I guess. But to think that he went to the cross and died in our place, he paid the price for our sin, and then came forth victoriously over the grave, over hell, and won the victory. That's the most important thing. And he's ready to save anyone who will only put their faith and trust in him. Isn't that wonderful? That's a good bargain, isn't it? You know, we give him our sin and he takes our, we take his righteousness. And that's what we need. He came forth from the grave triumphantly. And he offers eternal life to everyone that will trust in him. I have a poem here. This is written by a prisoner. It's a lady here in Pennsylvania. I've used this in the past, but anyway, you've forgotten it anyway, I'm sure. So I'll read it again. My Lord arose. I know it is true. The tomb was empty. The stone rolled from view. With dazzling apparel, so radiant white, my Lord came forth. What a glorious sight. The angel that sat in the sepulcher that day spoke, "Fear not, he is risen. Come see where he lay. If indeed he is risen, then I too shall rise to meet him and loved ones beyond the blue skies. That will be heaven to look on his face, saved, yes, saved by his infinite grace. We'll soar up and out into the regions above because of God's Son and his infinite love." As we saw on Good Friday, Jesus suffered, bled, and died on the cross. His disciples, closest friends, were devastated. They thought that they'd never see him again. They thought this was the end. No one expected him to rise from the dead. They had not understood, even though he had told them on a number of occasions. Everyone thought it was all over. The master was gone. The disciples were in hiding. The Jewish leaders were relieved. Finally, they were rid of this troublemaker, the one who was stirring up all kinds of problems. And they were happy that he was gone. He was dead and buried. Now they could enjoy the Sabbath rest and celebrate. The group of faithful ladies that followed Jesus around in his ministry and helped him in various ways, they were there at the cross. They saw him die. They were the first to go to the tomb, as we know, to prepare him for his burial. And as soon as they possibly could, it says here, when the Sabbath was passed. There were three ladies, first of all, and then others that came afterwards, prepared to anoint his body for the burial, it says. And they didn't know how they were going to go about this exactly, but they were planning to do it somehow at dawn, Sunday morning. They hurried to the tomb, only to find out that the grave was open. They had thought, well, who's going to roll away the stone, this huge stone that was blocking the entrance to the grave? But when they got there, it was already, it was already gone, wasn't it? And it says young men in one place here. It was an angel in the form of a young man sitting there on the right side where Jesus had been, clothed in a long white garment. He says, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Come, see for yourself where they laid him." Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, had risen from the dead. He was alive, alive forevermore. It's the greatest miracle that's ever taken place anywhere, you know. All of the other great leaders of the past are gone. They're buried someplace. But Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us even now. Yeah. And that's a wonderful thing to think about. So today on this Easter Sunday, we celebrate the victory of Christ over death. And he is risen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Think of it, no one expected Jesus to rise from the dead, even though he had told them repeatedly that he would. Everyone doubted that it was true and had to be convinced by seeing them for himself. But once they believed, the disciples set the world on fire, didn't they? You remember? I was thinking about that, I believe. We're going to be going into the book of Acts, which is a continuation, actually, of what we're seeing here today. And see how the disciples, what was the message that they preached primarily? We'll find out as we look here. They went everywhere proclaiming the good news that Jesus had died and he had risen again. The resurrection, that's the main emphasis that we find. Dr. McGee says, every sermon in the book of Acts is a message on the resurrection. Now you can read through the book of Acts, see if that's true. You can verify that. That'd be a good exercise to find out if there's a message in there that does not include the resurrection. The early church dwelt on it constantly. They were always talking about Jesus coming forth from the grave. Perhaps the church today would be more effective if we emphasized this more than once a year. You know, it's wonderful to preach it on Easter Sunday about the resurrection, but what about the other 51 weeks of the year? We need to let people know that our Lord is not in a grave somewhere over in Israel, but he is at the right hand of the Father on high. So come now and let us consider once again the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I know that this is a story for many of you. You've heard this over and over. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to think of something different to say. I know Steve knows what I'm talking about. And yet, we need to emphasize this. We find here the women and the empty tomb. They come to the empty tomb. These three women come to the tomb to express their love for their beloved teacher. They are brokenhearted, sad, but determined to give him a decent burial, as you would say, a proper burial. They wanted to prepare him the way he should be for his burial. They're concerned that they'll not be able to roll away this huge stone, as I mentioned, covering the tomb. But as they get closer, they find that the tomb is open. It's like a cave, and it's open. They can see right in. There's no stone there. It's off to the side. And it's been rolled away. Can you imagine what was going through their minds? Think of that. They wonder, well, how in the world did that happen? You know? Let's look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 11. Let's see, that's, 20. Speaking here, Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and she sees two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. This tells us about Mary Magdalene, and she thought someone had moved the body and was not convinced that Jesus was alive until he spoke to her personally. Notice verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. when Jesus spoke her name, she recognized who he was. You know, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Mary knew who he was. And we find here all of the stories about the empty tomb and the evidence that he is no longer there. Then we see the message of the angels. We've touched on that a little. Instead of the body of Jesus, the women find an angel in the form of a young man. And naturally they are afraid and amazed. Some of the other accounts, there's more than one angel. It's a few little different details in the story as they tell it. But we find the angels are there. These are the messengers from God, right? The ones who come to do his bidding. We found them at the birth of Jesus and throughout his life. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, the angels came and ministered to Jesus. And here once again, after his resurrection, the angels are there to give instructions to the people who come. The angels. And it says, you know, be careful when you entertain strangers because you might entertain an angel unaware. Have you ever met an angel? Anybody? No. You don't know. See? Because they look just like you do. Have you, Adam? All right. Very good. It's wonderful. The Lord directs. And anyway, we find here the angels. They are real. And they're bringing the good news. They're opening the eyes of these people who have been in unbelief, you see. And now, today, the Lord doesn't use angels so much to spread the good news as he does believers, right? The way we're supposed to be taking the gospel to those who need to hear it, right? To tell others the good news that Jesus is alive and well, and that he is in heaven and will someday come again. So God is so gracious to let these people know. They seem to be, as many of us might be, a little hard-headed. I don't know. Maybe you're not. But anyway, we find here that I shouldn't try to make jokes. You know, I look at you out there and you look so serious that I'm trying to lighten things up a little bit. But at the same time, I'm not very good at that, you know. At any rate. So the angel gives them a task to perform, see. Here he says, go tell his disciples and Peter to go to Galilee where Jesus will meet with them. Here we find something interesting. You remember Peter? Why would the angel mention Peter separately from the other disciples? Because Peter had denied the Lord, hadn't he? What was his frame of mind by now? Did he think, you know, am I still a disciple or have I sinned too much? You know? And we read in another place that Jesus actually went to Simon Peter and assured him that he was still a disciple and that he should feed his sheep. He should feed the lambs. You remember the story there in the last chapter of the Gospel of John where Jesus comes and he asked Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me? Why did he say it three times? Because Peter had denied him three times, right? I think it made an impression on him. And then we know, of course, that Peter went forth to be the one who proclaimed the gospel there in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost and throughout the rest of his life, going forth and preaching the gospel. But here, it's the ladies that the angel tells to go and tell the disciples and Peter what they should do. And Jesus does come and meets with them later. If we look in the other Gospels, you'll find that he appeared to them to assure them, to make sure that they understood that he was indeed alive. He did it on the, it was on the Lord's Day, on Sunday evening, I think, when he first appeared to the disciples. And you remember, Thomas was not there, right? So the week following, Jesus appeared to them again and said, "Thomas, here I am. You know, look at my hands. Feel my hands. Put your hand into my side. You see that it's me," right? And he assured him. So Jesus wanted to make sure that the disciples fully understood the entire truth, that he is alive. He has won the victory. And he spent 40 days with them afterwards, right? They went into Galilee, and it says that for 40 days, preparing them for the mission that he had for them, to leave them here on earth as he went back to heaven, and they were to carry on the work and spread the good news throughout their world, throughout to everyone that they could come in contact with. So we find here the women, then they rush away from the tomb. Verse 8, they went out quickly, fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Can you imagine? If that had been you, you know, I probably would have fainted, you know. But at any rate, we find here that they did that. They were amazed. And first of all, they didn't say anything to anyone for a while. But then later they did go and tell the others. And then this last part of the Gospel of Mark, it's written in a little different way. Some people think that he stopped and someone else finished it. But at any rate, it is the Word of God. We know that for sure. And we see some of the appearances of Jesus here, beginning in verse 9. We've already seen that he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, right? She was one of his closest disciples as a lady. Then he appeared in another form to the two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. That's in Luke chapter 24, where they were walking down the road going home. And I'm just wondering, because they both lived in the same place apparently. They went in and ate. It says one of them is Cleopas. It doesn't say who the other one is. I just wonder, could it have been his wife? At any rate, another disciple, and these two were walking along and they were so sad. And this other person walks up to them and starts talking, right? "Oh, why are you so sad? What's going on here?" You know? And they say, "Haven't you heard? Are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's happened?" You know? And he says, "What happened?" And so they tell him all about what happened to Jesus, that he was crucified. And then he goes into it and explains to them, "Oh, fools, and you that are so slow to understand," he says. "Ought not the Christ to have suffered and given himself?" And he explained to them all the scriptures. He went through the Old Testament from the writings of Moses and of the Psalms and the prophets, and explained to them all that had happened and who he was. And so they went in to eat their dinner, and it says, as they were eating, he was giving the blessing, they recognized who he was. You know, I was just wondering, how did they recognize him? Do you think maybe when he was praying, he raised his hands, they saw the nail prints? Perhaps. At any rate, it says, then he disappeared from the sight. And they went back to Jerusalem and told everybody, "Hey, we've seen the Lord." They said, we know. He's appeared to Peter, yes. So we find here what a wonderful, wonderful, exciting time this was when Jesus was appearing to these various ones. He appeared to the 11 as they were eating. Then he appeared to Thomas also. And it says at one point he appeared to over 500 people at once. You know? People say, oh, well, they were just hallucinating. Well, over 500 people were hallucinating at one time? Well, that's something, isn't it? No. No, it's real. Jesus is alive, and he's very much alive, and he is coming again to receive us unto himself. So we can rejoice in all of that, right? And then we see here in Mark, the last part of this, we call it the Great Commission, right? It appears four different times in the Gospels and then in the book of Acts again, the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So, he says, go and preach the gospel. He told his disciples to do this. And he said to this is what he said to them. And those who believe in Christ as Savior receive eternal life. That's what he says. Does he say anything else here except he that believeth and is baptized? What's the baptism all about? The baptism is to show that you are accepting the message and that you're willing to repent of your sins and follow him and commit yourself to him. That's what baptism's all about. It doesn't, you know, we could go into a big argument, is baptism necessary for your salvation and all that? I don't think so. No. Like, the famous illustration, of course, the thief on the cross, he believed, Jesus said, you're going to be with me in paradise. Okay, well, if he's going to be in paradise, then anyone else who believes in Jesus in that way will be in paradise, right? But at the same time, Jesus, it's written in red in my Bible, right? Jesus said this, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So I think we should make every effort to obey him, right? If you really believe, then you should be baptized, right? I mean, why not? If you are serious about your commitment to Christ, then baptism should be in the picture. Right? And notice the order. It says believe and be baptized. It doesn't say be baptized and believe. Right? So that's the order that we're supposed to take. Once you believe, then you follow the Lord in baptism in obedience to the divine command of Christ our Savior. He said, he that believeth not shall be damned. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. You know, people today don't want to think about the negative. You know, let's have a positive gospel. Well, we have a positive gospel. Believe and you'll be saved. And if you don't believe, you will be damned. That's what it says. Now, who does that put the onus on? Who has to make a decision here? You know, people talk about God sending someone to hell. Does God send anybody to hell? No. He says if you believe on Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have eternal life. Right? That's your decision. If you do not believe, if you want to say, oh, I don't believe that, it's just a fairy tale, you know, well, if you don't change your belief, he says, you will be condemned. You will be separated from God forever. You will be in a place that the Bible calls hell. And, I mean, that's not something that we like to think about. But yet, that is the truth. So, this is what he's saying here. So this morning, I would like to say to you, I hope you really, truly believe in Christ as your Savior. And if you have believed in him, you should be baptized in obedience to his command. And then go out and serve him. He talks about here going, telling the disciples to go and do this work. Now, if we are his disciples today, then we should be busy about the work that he's given us to do, right? In whatever way we can. Different people have different gifts, but we should certainly be involved. Be involved in the work of the Lord. And he says he will watch over us, protect us, and help us along the way. Speaks here about being bit by serpents and all, but that doesn't mean you go around picking them up and, you know, coddling these snakes and so forth. No, no, no. But he's saying, you know, the Apostle Paul was out gathering sticks for a firewood. Are you right? Remember? On that little island after they wrecked. And a serpent came out of the fire and bit him. They looked at him and they said, hey, he must really be a bad guy because he's going to die. And he looked for a while and they said, no, he's okay. He must be a god. So anyway, you know how people are. At any rate, we find here that God is able to help us and lead us. And then notice the last part here is the ascension. I heard Dr. Jeremiah was talking this week. He says, you hardly ever hear a sermon about the ascension, right? Well, here Jesus talks about that. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So here we have the ascension. Jesus went up, and this is in Acts chapter 1. Let's just take a look there just for a minute. Acts 1 and verse 10. I got so many bookmarks here. Acts 1 verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So here we find the angels once again at the ascension when Jesus went up to heaven, and they said, he is coming again. He's coming back to rule and to reign over this earth. So he sat down at the Father's right hand, the place of authority. He's the head of the church today. And the place of intercession. The book of Hebrews speaks of him as our great high priest. We go through Jesus to the Father. And the disciples accepted the challenge here that he gave and went everywhere preaching the gospel. The Lord doing his work through them. So what a joy it is to know today that we serve a risen Savior. And I hope and pray that each and every one of us know him today. But if you don't, all you have to do is believe. Put your faith and trust in him. And call upon the name of the Lord. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, it says, shall be saved. So if you ask the Lord to save you, he'll do it. He promised. And all you have to do is believe. And then, after that, he has some work for us to do. Right? As believers. You know, some people think, all I've got to do is believe and I go to heaven. So they believe and then that's the end of it, right there. That's all they ever do. Oh yes, I believed in Jesus when I was 15 years old and I've never done a thing since. That doesn't sound right, does it? He puts us to work. And so he wants us to live according to his word. He wants us to be faithful and to continue to serve him. So on this Easter Sunday, we want to allow the Lord to fill us with his presence, with his power, and to use us as his servants. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Thank you, Father, for all that you are to us today. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive. We're so glad We're so glad we serve a risen Savior. Help us, our Father, to do your will and to walk in fellowship with you and be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One has a wonderful Easter Sunday. Enjoy beautiful weather and have a good time together as your family and friends. Our Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for your great grace and mercy and love to us, and pray that you'll help us, that we might truly be witnesses for you in all that we do and say day by day. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in all that we do, that we'll be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.